We'll be joined by Flames captain Mark Giordano in a couple of minutes. It'll be great to talk to him about, stop me if you get too excited here, guys, hockey and hockey being played, which is crazy to say. It's been a few months since we can, and I know there's so many hurdles between now and when these games would actually happen, but the fact that there was a plan in place officially last week, how can you not get a little excited?
I'm a little excited, Mark, I will admit that, but I just find it awkward. And I know there are so many rules and regulations and so many things that are going to affect this, but it's almost like if you were going to come back, like try to do it a little bit quicker. I don't know. It's like, okay, we're going to have a plan in place to come back, but then it's 6 weeks later. That's it's like the air comes right out of it, and it's like people are like, man, by that time, who knows what I'll be into. I just thought if you were going to pull it off, I don't know. And they're still probably going to pull it off, but it just seems like that delay, the momentum comes right out of it. We're talking, we're not talking one or two. We're talking 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It does, but that, you know, you make a great point from, I guess, for us on the outside. The announcement is made. Everyone gets excited. The juices are flowing and go, it's like, you know, oh, well, that's 2 months from now. But the league, I guess,
Jamie, ideally it would have been, we've kind of, you know, we kind of backdoored this thing and we've gone above the rules and regulations, and you guys can have training camp in 2 weeks' time, and that can be 10 days, and then we're going to fire up. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm starting to think it's more bizarre to have the 24 teams in it, because it's like, it just takes more time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
why would you want to take so much more time?
I'm excited about it because I think...
I just think if you look at it, and it would have been a perfect world if they said, okay, we're going to do this, but let's get things cooking. But I know that's not possible.
Right.
Well,
and
not right now.
And guys, if you think you're impatient right now, how about our next guest?
Yes, exactly.
The captain of the Calgary Flames, Norris Trophy winner, Mark Giordano. Mark, how eager are you to get back onto the ice and start playing some hockey games?
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Everyone wants to get back. I think, you know, especially now with the last week or so or couple of weeks, there's been some easing of some restrictions. It feels like life's getting back to a little bit more normalcy, but, I think everyone's really anxious, but at the same time, I think guys have been pretty aware of what's going on in the world and the situation with the coronavirus, and we have to be safe. We have to find a way to do both. Be really safe about it. Watch out for our health and our family's health. But I think it's really important that we find a way to get this playoff in, you know, because it's going to help out the game huge. This is a game that's given all of us so much in our life, and we have to do whatever we can to move forward.
Gio, I was reading on the Flames website you talking about, I was surprised you even said this, but you're like, I'm becoming an older player. I'm an older player now. How have you been training? How are you staying in shape? Because you are a guy who's always been in peak physical condition. How have you been able to do that?
Well, I'm doing a little bit less bench press in my days with you, Noodles. Not so worried so much about the chest and the arms anymore. I'm actually just really worried about cardio and speed. As you get older, I think the speed of the game is the one thing that you notice you have to try and keep up with, especially with all the young talent in the league now and how quick these guys are. So I really work on speed, cardio. I think you make the most mistakes on the ice when you're tired, so I try to keep my cardio up. And yeah, it's been a little bit easier. The weather's gotten a little bit nicer here in Calgary, so being able to get outside and do some sprints and quick feet stuff is it's a nice break from just riding on a treadmill or a bike in your house. So it's been good. But yeah, for me, those are the two areas, and I think body weight strength stuff is enough for me to maintain. I've been doing some of that at home too.
Gio, I've been off for a week, so I apologize if you are skating, but what kind of timeline does it look like until you guys can have kind of small group sessions on the ice and actually put some skates on and get moving out there?
Yeah, well, I was hoping that something would get moving by the, you know, middle to end of this week. I'm still not sure about that, but, you know, when they made the announcement that we're going to be able to train in small groups, I think everyone got, you know, excited to to move that process along as quick as possible. So hopefully we'll be allowed in here at some point soon, where even if it's, you know, I think they were saying six guys or less together, even if you can just put the boots on and get back on the ice, it's so much different. The muscles you use on the ice compared to, you know, just working out in a gym, you need to get those stabilizers and everything going again.
Gio, how was the information process going along with the, you know, return to play committee? You know, was everyone brought up to speed? Were you involved at least kind of in the daily process and kind of figure out what they were trying to do? And are you fine with the 24-team format? Is that something you're excited about and will embrace?
Yeah, I mean, I think the committee deserves a ton of credit. I mean, I think they've gone through so many different scenarios over the past month and a half. And I just think there was no way you can, you know, at the end of the day, there's no way you can penalize a team for not playing the same amount of games as another team. And I think that's what it came down to. You know, the 12-12, I think it works best just because you had some teams who played less games and they didn't have the opportunity to win those games to try and jump ahead of other teams. And there was always going to be that argument, like, what if we finished the last 10 games? Who would have moved up? Who would have moved down? So I think out of all the scenarios, I think this one was the best one. The only other one I sort of liked was cutting the season, like getting everyone to 68 games, cutting it back and seeing where everybody was at that point in the season, and then putting 16 in just to make it like a normal playoff. But I, after reviewing it and looking at it, I see the argument of not doing that. So 24 teams is good. I think they've put together a good scenario. I think it's, you know, pretty fair. I still think obviously there's some teams that don't like it, but I think everyone realizes that there's a lot of thought and a lot of discussions around this, and this was the one that makes the most sense.
He is the captain of the Calgary Flames, Mark Giordano, joining us on Overdrive. And Mark, we know that the plan is to have two hubs, and we've heard a lot of suggestions on what those hubs would look like. And obviously safety is the biggest priority, but from a player's perspective and one who knows what it takes to play playoff hockey, what are some of the things that you hope these hubs have for you that can accommodate players?
Well, I think wherever we go, obviously, we're going to be staying in a pretty nice spot. It's going to be safe. The hotels that we stay in are usually great. So, no, just for us, I think the things that stick out for you as players, especially when you're going to have, looks like 12 teams in one hub, like what are the ice conditions going to be like? What are the practice conditions going to be like? What, you know, how are the conditions going to be different as far as preparation for these games? So that's the thing that looking forward most to hearing about. And I'm pretty confident with our league. I know they've done a great job so far, and I think they'll do everything in their power, obviously, to keep us safe as far as testing and things like that with the virus. So just looking forward to, you know, the next announcement when it comes of how those things are going to play out.
Gio, have you been treating this almost like an off season? It's been such a unique scenario. You know, all of a sudden we're not playing games, and then you're trying to figure out when is the next set of games. Did you almost say to yourself, like, okay, I'm going to go through my off season routine rituals where you're, you know, you take some time off, let the body heal, and then you go back at it? Or, you know, is that the same narrative you've kind of had in conversations with your teammates as well?
Yeah, I think most guys, what happened was at the start, there was so much uncertainty. We didn't really know what to do for that first week or two. But most guys were pretty close to being completely off, I would say. And then, yeah, a lot of guys traveled back to their home cities. So we stayed in touch basically over, you know, FaceTime and stuff like that. But I think most guys after the 2 to 3 week point, you realize, you know, there's a good chance that we'll be able to get this going at some point again. You know, the problem is, Noodles, is you don't want to burn yourself out before you start here. So you got to sort of time your workouts properly. I was even talking today, you know, with our trainers about, you know, maybe taking three or four days off in a row at some point to get that, you know, your battery recharged again, because a lot of us have been training in some sort of fashion here for, you know, a couple months now. So I think that's going to be the, you know, the million-dollar question. Obviously, we need to figure out when we're going to start, if we're going to start, and then you gotta sort of time it properly so you feel real fresh going in.
Gio, with your profile, with what's transpired in the world the last several days, being the captain of the Calgary Flames and having the role you do in the leadership role, what is it like being a current athlete, and do you feel the need to say something or the pressure to say something? You just what Jamie talked about earlier, you want to sit back and gain knowledge and just learn from different people. What are your thoughts in as far as your profile is in the community, as far as kind of voicing something or saying anything?
Yeah, you know what? I've also taken the stance right now that I'm gonna educate myself, and I've been watching closely and following everything and listening. And I think whether you want to, you know, whatever you want to say or tweet or anything like that, I think, you know, we have to be educated on this and listen. And I think looking within, that's what I've been doing the past few days, and learning how to be better myself. And do better is important. But I think I've learned a little bit over the past couple of days, you know, I think athletes from all backgrounds, I think that's the one thing that stuck out to me. Athletes from all backgrounds have to show, you know, that we're together in this and we fight for equality. And you know, being a white athlete, I know the privilege that I have, not worrying about, you know, I don't know, walking down the street, racism that my son won't have to face. You know, and it's sickening that it's not the reality for so many people. So I think we have to, all athletes from all backgrounds, I think we have to fight for this, fight for equality. And, you know, I think in the United States, you're seeing the people have had enough. And, you know, it's something that's happened before. This isn't the first time, and it sort of happens, and then it goes quiet, and another big event like this happens, we have to really all stand together. We have to make sure that it's not acceptable. And I'm trying to do the right thing and say the right things, and but at the end of the day, I took the last few days to really try and listen to people and educate myself on the whole situation. And this is something that we have to come together and make sure that we all fight for this, you know, and fight for equality.
He's the 2019 Norris Trophy winner. And Mark, it's not just that you're one of the best defensemen in the NHL. You are widely regarded as one of the best leaders. And I'm also going to bring up the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award that you won back in 2017 at the ESPYs. And the reason why I bring that all up is because I keep thinking back to the day that the Flames named you the captain. And there's no way that you can prepare for what's going on in the world today on multiple fronts, what's happening in hockey, what might happen from a year-to-year basis, whether it's hockey-related or not. Are those all things that they're not easy, but you kind of take pride in as being a captain in the NHL, and it's not just a letter on your sweater, but it's kind of a responsibility that you take in regardless of you're equipped to do it right on the spot?
Yeah, I mean, I've always taken the stance where I've always been a guy, I think, who I want to lead by example and do the right thing so that guys, especially younger guys, the league's become so young now, they see you doing the right things, and hopefully they can follow, right? I you can say what you want, but if you're not doing the right thing, I don't think your words mean much. And I had a great captain before me in Iggy, and learned so much from him, and learned just how he was so respected because of the way he treated people.
What about Noodles?
Noodles and Iggy, obviously.
Forget Iggy. What did that guy ever do?
Seriously, give me one solid thing you learned from Noodles. Like something. Like, is there anything productive you learned from Noodles?
Oh, it was great. Noodles was a great teammate. I mean, when the funniest.
You can't name anything, though. You can't name anything.
No, the funniest part about Noodles was the switch that he would flip when he was the starter versus the days he was not starting. It was
His give a crap meter wasn't there when he was backup.
The M&M's in his glove.
When he was backing up, he was getting the boys going, firing the whole room up. You couldn't shut him up. And then when he was starting, he was pretty focused and determined. So it was, he was full head to toe in his gear by the. I don't know, Noodles, those are like the 15-minute mark or something?
Oh, yeah. I was terrified for you guys in front of me, having to play in front of me. That's why I would get very focused. But actually, Gio, I wanted to bring this up. I know you kind of fly under the radar, but you and your wife, Lauren, have done some pretty special stuff as far as the grocery purchase during COVID in Calgary. Do you want to shine a little light on that, or at least give some love to your wife, who's been a big part of that?
Yeah, I'll definitely give her all the credit. She as soon as this started, she said, you know, it's terrible what people are going to be going through, and with the loss of work and people struggling to make their rent and stuff like that. So she actually went online, and there's a few great Facebook groups in Calgary who are, seeking out or reaching out to people and fulfilling some needs. And a lot of people are just looking for basic needs. I mean, groceries, you know, some people needed a laptop for their kids to do their online school courses. And, We're obviously in a community here in Calgary that gives so much, and the people here are great. You know that, Noodles, how great the people here are when it comes to helping each other out, and we just want to be a part of that. So it's something we wanted to do, and she found these couple of Facebook groups that are doing amazing things in our community. So happy to help.
Great to get a shout out for Lauren, and great to have you on the show, Mark. And we hope that in, you know, kind of 6 to 8 weeks, whatever that time frame is, we're talking about you playing the Winnipeg Jets, which would be a great all-Canadian series. Win/if that happens, best of luck. I hear they have a good goalie, but I'm sure you guys will be fine other than that. So great having you on the show.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
There it is. Mark Giordano, captain of the Calgary Flames. And, as you pointed out, like, it's, you're excited for these playoff series. We would all be excited to see this all-Canadian matchup. But again, it's like, okay, let's kind of pump the brakes for a little bit, because we don't want to get into like the matchups, because we'll need that material in a couple of weeks again.
And I heard Pierre LeBrun mention it. He said, you know, everyone's excited and there's talk about this coming back, but they're not exactly over the finish line yet. I want hockey to come back. I'm optimistic. I'm excited. I want the distraction. But there's a bunch of things that still need to happen for them to get across the finish line here.
Absolutely, and that's why Gary Bettman has said, when we return to play, this is what it's going to look like. That's why there's no hard date. He even said training camps will not start before July 10th. The one thing the National Hockey League does have with all of this, and I wholeheartedly believe this, is the luxury of time. Because they want to start their next season, which, whether it's January or you can push it back December or January, with fans in the stands. And that is going, with that's going to become education. With that, hopefully, is treatment or a vaccine or some form where if I'm a 75-year-old person that has a pre-existing condition, I feel safe to go into a crowded space. And that's not just for 75. I'm just looking at statistics as far as, you know, how this has affected maybe that older generation. But it affects everyone. You want it to be a safe space for people to go, yeah, I'm going to go watch the Leafs play tonight, and it's January 15th. So the league doesn't want to have that next season start without fans. So I think what they're doing is, hey, we're going to have a 24-team tournament to finish this one off, but we may not start this until August 15th. So, you're right. It's going to be 6, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. Who knows? We can get excited about it, but now we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with our lives for the next 10 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is, because it's going to be a while before they sort it out.
Yeah, the business model doesn't exactly support hockey being played in an empty building. And right.